How's it all going? So welcome along to a session on Office 365, Intro to Admins. What I should probably tell you guys is it is an intro to the admin of Office 365. It's not going to be a super in-depth thing. I'm not going to go in and set up ADFS stuff for you in front of you, because anyone who's done that knows it takes a hell of a lot more than an hour and be impossible to demonstrate. So what we're doing is, as I say, just an intro to Office 365. So to give you an idea of who I am and why I'm in front of you, as you can see on here, my name's Malcolm. I work for Althaus Computer Training as a trainer. I've been there a while. Along with James and Craig down here, we look after the domain, although James and I do a better job than Craig, but that's okay. We just won't say that in front of Craig. I'm MCSA in Civ 2012, Office 365, and a handful of other things thrown in along the mix. So, you know, in my day-to-day stuff, I teach courses to 8 people at a time. This is a nice room, isn't it? 233 of you are in here, apparently. So that's a slight increase on 8. And amongst other things that I do, I also do play around a little bit with SQL. I play a little bit with SharePoint, which is one of those things that you guys will have to learn if you're going to play with 365. Sorry if you don't like SharePoint, but that's just tough. I think that's about it, really, as far as intros go. We're here for an hour. I'm going to try and tour and show you as much as I can, give you some tips and tricks along the way. It is, you know, it's easy enough to speak for hours and hours on end about this, but out of here, how many people have actually got 365 or administering 365 already? Cool. Okay, so the intro stuff is probably going to be a little bit easy for you, but, you know, we'll see how we go on that. Who are thinking about going to it? How many of it is it's a great big black box and you have absolutely no idea what it is? Now, that's okay, because you can admit that as well. Just as a look around as well, how many domain admins have you got here? Like sysadmins, hopefully there's a whole pile of you, right? Yeah? Excellent. Cool. So please don't poke holes when I go and show off our Active Directory, because, you know, we are a training firm and we have a very strict rule, as Chris Barker here will tell you, which is do as we say, not necessarily always as we do, because we're trainers and we're busy a lot. So the idea of this session, as we go through things, is, you might notice a Spaceship Enterprise floating around up here beside me, Mobile Proctology Lab. What we're going to do later on is I'm going to show you something that I did a while ago in a classroom accidentally while I was teaching Office 365. We'll see how that goes. Alrighty, so the intro idea here is Office 365 is a service. What's it all about for those of you who have not come across it yet? How you can get started with Office 365 and what you can do to, you know, how you basically sign in and start up the first demos and that sort of thing. I'm going to tour you around and start playing with some of the features of Office 365's admin console. So we'll start to, you know, add users, remove users, delete James and Craig down here. We'll have a look through the Exchange console. And as far as I can work out, that'll probably take the better part of an hour. So while I haven't listed it here, I'll also, if we have time at the end of it, dive into a wee bit of the SharePoint admin as well, because that's kind of a useful thing. Because how many of you actually play with SharePoint a lot? Yeah, see, that's not even, like, that's probably about 10% of you out there put your hands up to actually playing with SharePoint. And, you know, it's got some uses inside here, so it's quite cool. As we go along through this as well, I am going to mention a whole pile of the handy things that you need to know. And as you can see by the end, I've also got useful tools that you actually need to start learning about and you need to start thinking about in your organization. IIS being one of those. Okay, so we'll talk through some of those as we go on. Also, PowerShell. Anyone into PowerShell? Who's the PowerShell fans? Yeah, cool. Who went and saw James's PowerShell thing yesterday? James wasn't there. He was just standing on stage. No. If you didn't, try and get a hold of it. Also, his last year's one, 10 Ways to Lose Your Fear of PowerShell. For those of you who keep your hands firmly down, get a hold of James's session from that last year. It was actually bloody good. Despite his computer bricking itself just before he went on stage. All right. So what does all of this mean? Office 365 as a service. Well, we're an ex-BPOS client. So we had BPOS for a while, and then I think August last year we switched over to Office 365, which was quite nice. Let's have a look in the next slide here. So what does it actually mean? To me, it's just a simple way of organizing all of your users. One of the things that we don't have at Althaus anymore, and we don't need to have at Althaus, is an on-site Exchange server. All right. So all of our clients, all of our users, which basically comes to a whopping graphic total of 22 real users, I think it is, at last count, hey? 27? There you go. Real users? Yeah, and 3 fake ones. So what we have is a very small organization ourselves. You know, for the number of you guys that we see come through on courses, we're a relatively small organization internally. So for us, not having an Exchange server on site, really easy. We've got the devices everywhere. You know, if I quickly do this. Oh, I bet you it's all colleagues sending me text messages at the moment, eh? And Chris is apparently meant to be heckling me via text message. You know, there's Office 365, Torpedo 7, any idea what my interests lie in? So, you know, that's a pretty simple thing through, you know, mobile device. This is a Samsung with Windows 8 on it. Some other things it offers your users is that you can come through into here, go ahead and, you know, create basic Word documents and that sort of thing. Now, I'm only running Windows Phone 8, but that's with Office 365, and you can see it's quite nice to have that portability. There's a number of times I've gone off on site to clients. Chris Barker, don't do it. Yeah, see, that's him, heckling, via text. It's just what you need, eh? Yeah, delivering a presentation and your colleagues do this to you. All right, some of the other things it offers are easy deployment for Microsoft Office. Okay, so there's no real need for you, as long as you've got an internet connection, there's a number of different ways that you can launch Office. Who can name a couple of them? What can you do? Stream it? I heard someone say that really quietly. There you go, so you can stream it, right? So you can actually do like Office on demand and just get it launched as you need it. You can do it as an online app, okay? And all of those sorts of things depend on, you know, your different plan settings and that sort of stuff as you go, which we'll have a look at those as we cruise into this. We've also got, of course, some of the stuff about, who off the top of the head knows how many devices a user can run with Office 365? Five? See, that's becoming one of those answers everyone should know. Incidentally, how many attended my exam cram yesterday? Oh, cool. There's a few hands. Sweet. who's thinking about getting certified for this? Who needs a business? Who has a business that needs you to get certified for a 365? Okay, so as we go through this, I'll try and drop hints at some of the things that you actually need to know about for those as well. So, and if anyone's thinking about that, please talk to me afterwards because I can give you as much advice as you need on the certification track on that. Yeah, so five devices per user. The users manage the devices themselves. So it's not the main admin's job to manage those devices. So if they, for example, ditch one device and they decide to go and get another one, you know, they go between a couple of tablets, then you're away and laughing. If a person's floating around with an iPad, can they use it? Yeah? Cool. What does he say? Switch back to slides. That's probably a good point. Thanks for the reminder. James is going to heckle me with a pit board here. You should have seen the stuff he was writing earlier on a Surface. It was pretty annoying. So yeah, a simple way of managing your clients, easy deployment of Office, supported on multiple devices, so up to five of them. A couple of things you want to get into is looking at the mobile device management as you go through this as well. So if you are looking at enabling full-on bring your own device for work for all of your, for all of your staff, have a look at Microsoft's MDM stuff. Go and have a look at Intune. Right, so Intune allows you to go ahead and manage devices and that kind of stuff live. And that's really cool. And that's why I say this is a BYOD enabler. And now after BYOD enabler, you'll notice that there is this little bullet point here that I've put with an exclamation mark after the back of it. Because I can kid you not, the number of times I talk about Office 365 and deliver info on 365, I have a lot of sysadmins going, well, hang on a second, doesn't this mean we're out of a job? Now, we're organizing all this stuff in the cloud. We're not looking after our Exchange servers on-premise and that sort of stuff. It must be terrible. You know, we're going to have nothing to do. And I can pretty much hand on heart say it still keeps you bloody busy. You know, we've only got 27 real users, three fake ones and a Craig. And as I can tell you, it still keeps me and James pretty busy between our two branches, keeping things tidy, looking at the report management and all that sort of stuff, getting the odd reports through of our users saying we can't send an email out to Bob or Bruce because something's bouncing back the whole time. So it does keep you busy. You're managing everything as you go. You're managing your Active Directory still, and that's cool. Because what I want you to cast your mind back to is before we all had all this virtualization, how many of you were a bit worried about virtualization when you were managing hardware? You know, and when you're thinking about managing hardware, you thought, oh my God, if it goes virtual, there goes all those skills out the window. But as I say in the next one, it's just a paradigm shift, okay? It's just one of those things that you're just going to have to shift your mind, and it just changes how you manage those tools. And that's all it really, really comes down to. Cool, and as I say here, in fact, you're likely to be just as busy, okay? But as I say, there are a few tips that I've sort of written in the notes here. One of the things you're going to have to get used to is group policy for software deployment as well, if you're going to have a think about that. And tying in that sort of parallel to all of this bring your own device stuff is having a look at things like workplace join. Now, being that we're New Zealand, how many of us have all gone to switch to Server 2012 R2 with Windows 8.1 on every device? Quick show of hands. One. Yeah. You see, when you move into that kind of realm, what they've done with those two products, Server 2012 and 8.1, is they've brought in a whole pile of other new features, which if you see any lectures around here that mention workplace join or work folders, you know. So Alan Birchall's doing something on work folders tomorrow. Go along and have a look at it if it wasn't on your list already, because it's actually really worth looking at doing, is how you manage those. And again, anyone who's looking at getting certified in Civ 2012, you need to know about this stuff as well. So yeah, and of course, if you've got SCCM, then that's going to be a great tool to have as well. Okay, so the getting started stuff. How do you get started? Well, you go along and start a trial. Now, as a trainer of this topic, it's actually kind of interesting, because when you come along to do the course for Office, is anyone coming in 2 weeks' time to Alt House Auckland to do the Office 365 course? Is there anyone in here doing that? I think there's still slots, so go talk to Lee and book in after this. One of the things to note, and it's always kind of hard to convince users of this when they come on our courses, is that you're going to have a credit card even if you're doing a trial, which is a bit of a nuisance, and I should just check where mine is. We've also got to have a suitable Microsoft account for the trial and that kind of stuff, so you can actually roll things over into there. Any decent email will do. Now, being someone who teaches the Office 365 stuff a lot, this would be the trick, won't it? Does it work? Do we get there? This will link you into it. What I generally suggest people do is you just go office365.com, and it will redirect to here eventually. Hey, there we go. So who's been here and had a look? Has anyone actually fired up the trial just for a few giggles, yeah? All right, so that's cool. A handful of you had a look. How many? It's complete virgin territory for some, eh? All right, so what we'll do up here is I'm going to click onto this list here, which says take me off to the for business. And what happens for business is you'll get into this screen here. Okay, so there's two flavors of Office 365. One of them is, and it's quite funny because just before this, of all the things to leave in Wellington, I left my mouse, which was kind of silly, so I've just been to Noel Lemmings and bought myself a new bright blue mouse. And while Chris and I were there buying it, there was a person on the phone selling Office 365 to somebody, and he was talking through, you know, the two different versions, basically home and professional. What I'm going to do here is go choose for business straight away. That'll link me onto the business page, and then plans and pricing. Now, the interesting thing is here is that when you see this page, it's pretty lightweight. What I suggest when you browse to here, guys, is you go off to see all plans and pricing. And, well, I can't quite see that screen here. Now, can you all see that all right? It's straightforward, eh? Yeah. What you'll notice through here is we've got the small business plans. Okay, so the small business plans are basically there for the teeny tiny little businesses, up to 25 users, and it gives you desktop versions. So one of the things to be aware of when choosing this is which ones actually have the desktop versions to play with. Because if you choose one that doesn't, you've got to do plan upgrades and that kind of stuff later. And if you're looking at it for a trial, it's often a better idea to have a look at getting the ones with those in it. As we scroll on down through this list, right down the bottom, it'll tell you about the free trial type stuff. Okay? And they're the ones that you want to have a look at if you're going to sign up for a free trial. So I'm going for the E3 plan here. The reason for going for the E3 is it's the big enterprise one that doesn't allow me to do it. Top of your head, how many users maximum can I have for that? 25, yeah. All right. I've used my name a few times, so that's Craig. WGTN. Hold on. Where's my mouse gone? There it is. That's it. Just going to make sure I use the right... right password here. You guys can spam his account all you like there. And of course, now we're going to have my phone number up here. Now, some of the interesting things is that when you do set this trial up, be prepared to go ahead and have somebody ring you up and extol the virtues of all the Office 365, ask you through how is everything going and all that kind of stuff. And yeah. So enter a username, there you go, example, Craig, and company name. What I'll do here is WLG Old House. That should probably work. How am I spelling that? There we go. And of course, use a very tricky password. You all got it? Sweet. Just saying. Is that hard work? You know, this is setting up the trial for those of you who haven't done it. Okay, send me a text message. Now, actually, here's a bit of advice. Who's on 2 degrees? Anyone here on 2 degrees? Cool. Guess what happens when you do that? You receive a text message at about 2 o'clock the next morning. That's pretty good timing, eh? Of course, I have just realized the one thing I'm going to have to fill out on screen here, eh? Oh. What we've suggested in Wellington is we're actually for the training courses. If you guys are booking for the training courses with Office 365 and you want to set these trials up, get a Prezi card or give us a call because we've got a couple of Prezi cards in Wellington that we're going to use so you can actually book for this, all right? So this is going to text me. Hopefully I'll get a text me over here. And then I have to enter my verification code. And this actually happens really quick if you see that. That's pretty quick, eh? 600323. You guys can all read that, of course, if I put that up there. All right, how do I want to be contacted? Definitely not by phone. And create my account. I've just proved I'm not a robot. How's that? So for those of you who have never set up a trial, that's how hard it is. Okay, so that's all good to go. Now, there are some things that I should talk about this trial that you need to know about. That is not a full domain. It is not interacting with your domain. It's absolutely 100% separate, and it's full cloud-based. So none of what you just saw is actually going to affect your domain until you go through and set up all the domain and interact with the domain and that sort of thing. So just a useful thing to know. All right. And straight away, as logged in as Craig Beer. Hopefully you got your password right there, Craig. So, yeah. And straight into the Office 365 and into here, which I'm going to drop in a second because I'm actually going to give you a tour through this using our one. Okay, so you'll actually see the Office 365 as we use it at Aldhouse. So, yeah, there's a demo on how to create a trial in Office 365. Pretty painless, wasn't it? Yeah? Cool. And I'd better just remember what his password and login and all that was, but since it's one I can ditch, it's fine. So yeah, you can imagine when we teach courses at Aldhouse, we've got like about 8 or 9 of those starting up in a class, 8 or 9 new Microsoft accounts starting up, and a whole pile of Azure accounts starting up as well. So yeah. Cool. Right, let's have a look at the next stuff. So you thought that stuff was easy? Pretty much is. And what we have coming up next is I'd like to go through and just have a look through what the admin console gives for you. Now, one of the things that this isn't, and I hope it doesn't come across as, it's not really a sales pitch. I want you guys to actually understand all of this stuff is really super easy to use. And yeah, so what we're going to do is have a bit of a tour around now and have a look at Office 365 from the inside. So I want to have a bit of a tour around everything you can see there. And that's going to go a whole lot like, hopefully, with Internet Explorer. Let's drop this out of the way and bring up IE and put it on the right screen. Actually, for now, I might not, just why. I was doing this demonstration back in Wellington last year, and the craziest thing, I was having trouble with my password. You know, who's been there and had trouble with their passwords, right? And as I did it, and I'll just bring this up here, as I went through and typed in my password, it wasn't working. I was thinking, oh, this just sucks. What have I done wrong? And then what I found out that I'd done is left the caps lock on. We've all done that, right? So that's cool. And then when I went through into, oh, that'll do it. As I went through into typing my user account and password the second time, I actually went and managed to put my password in the user account thing. That's pretty good, isn't it? All right. What? That'll do. Now, as I log into this, I'll just tell you a little something about this logon page. So here's the logon for Microsoft.com. I have no idea why it wasn't working from portal.microsoftonline.com, but there you go. What will happen from here is I'm about to hit my tab key, and it's just one of those little nice little things here. So I'm going to hit my tab key. What you can actually generate for Office 365 from here is as soon as you tab away from the username and drop down into the password screen, is that can be customized and come through with your business's branding and that sort of stuff as well. And if you're using ADFS, then you can get full customized splash screen for login and that kind of stuff as well. So that's quite nice. And to log in, here we go to start having a look at the portal. Now, one of the crazy things about this product, and I know James can attest to this because we were just talking about this yesterday. This year, there were two courses released. 20346 was released for Office 365, and that was great. 20346A had script errors and all kinds of things, so when it built all the Azure virtual machines for managing this, they all broke, and that didn't work, which was great. A whole pile of trainers were left feeling pretty upset. So they released a B revision, which has got all the changes, and that was brilliant. The B revision was released about 2 weeks before I taught the B rev in August, and the screenshots were all out of date because of the fact that Microsoft Office 365 is such a fast-evolving product. So how many of you have actually looked at it ages ago, and now you're looking at this thinking, actually, that looks a whole lot different to what I remember 365 looking like, right? So it does change a lot. So one of the first things that you see as you come into here, as we start to look at the dashboard, as we start to see all of these information about the actual, you know, the current health of our servers and that sort of thing, you'll notice that we have Exchange is telling us that it's in an extended recovery mode, which means that at some point something's gone a wee bit wrong. Now, that could just be updates to online servers, could be, you know, all sorts of things. If I click onto View Details and History, exam tip for those thinking about this, you need to know those little icons. So if anyone was at my 365 thing yesterday and I told you, you need to be aware of some icons, that's what I'm talking about. So all of these ones along the bottom of the screen here, they're all pretty much going to tell you what the service state is and what's involved. You'll notice as well that it's got reporting, and we can click on these little buttons here and it'll come and tell us what was there. And so as I say, for those of you who are into monitoring your servers and monitoring and having a look around, you don't lose that flavor, you don't lose that ability, it's all still there, and you still have a fair amount of work to do. That's right. Can you guys read that okay from there? Back row, Daniel, that's all right? Yeah. One hand? Yeah. Sweet. So this is just straight off from the dashboard, okay? So we've got this other useful one over here, because you know you've got the users who do it. Now, if you are using DirSync and interacting with your on-premise Active Directory, manage your passwords from in there. But if you're not and you're doing everything fully cloud-based, then you basically can come up into here and reset people's passwords. Like Craig's. What's going on with that Zoomy thing? Right, reset passwords. Cool. So there's a nice bit of a display through here. I can come down and choose the user. And, you know, we've got these nice little searching tools that we can do just to pick on them a little bit more. And straight through in here, find the user and go through and reset their password if I want to. Except for the fact that we use Active Directory DirSync and I can't do that from within here. Cool. So if I come back into the Office 365 Management Console, you'll notice up here as well, you can see the services that we've got playing around, Office 365, Exchange Link, and so on. Alrighty. So that's pretty straightforward, eh? If I come into here through setup, you'll notice that floating around in here, we can go into some advanced setup stuff. You'll notice one of the key ones, and I'm not going into this level, there is a session or two in here, particularly Federation services and looking at the hybrid environments as well. So hopefully you're all aware that you can do on-premise and cloud-based interaction between Exchange, so that'd be quite a nice thing for you to see. All right, active users. Now, a sure sign here that we're running with Active Directory DirSync is that up the top here, it says when we were last synced, about 2 hours ago, which means it's if we wanted to force it through our DirSync machine, we could actually force that through now, but for now, it's going to go through and sync again in a little while. Okay, we could deactivate the DirSync synchronization from here, or manage it, which I'm not going to go into just at the stage here. If we're adding users, because at Althaus we use Active Directory DirSync, my advice to you guys, if you're playing around with this in your workplaces, every now and then we have the kind of issue where somebody goes through into Active Directory and makes a user an AD and then thinks, well, I better go to Office 365 and make a user in there. And I can tell you it's pretty much not the right way to do things. The best way to do things is to create your users floating around in, see there's laughs here, right? They know. The best way to do it is create them in Active Directory, let the synchronization take place to push those over and force those users up and in. The reason being is you actually end up with two user accounts. And then what happens when you have those two user accounts is everyone starts emailing the wrong person. And then you get, James and I get a countless number of emails saying, hey, can you sort this out because I can't email that person. And so we fix it and tell people how to do it. And then we get an email saying, we can't do it. If you are going to build this, no licenses available because we've got our 27 people plus our 3 fake ones and a 30-user license pack. Creating a new user is actually quite straightforward here. Now, what we need to do for it is create the name, last name, how we want them to be, Joe B. And because of the way that Microsoft works with having the fact that Office 365 gives you the onmicrosoft.co.nz account, you have your organization.onmicrosoft.com. We've got this one lingering away from our BPOS days. So I could actually make it so this is a full only cloud-based. They don't have an account served on site. And up here I can create a user auto-generated password. Now this gives like a 3-character, 2-digit kind of a password that you get for users. or I can type in a password for that person. And oddly enough, when you start to type in, and you know what I'm typing as a trainer, right? Apparently that's a strong password, so if you guys are all going to use that, that's cool. The other thing that happens with that is I get emailed a confirmation that says that this new user has been created, and I get their password as well, which allows me to log on through the portal and manage it. So I'm going to go ahead and create that user, which none of you will be able to use because it's not active or anything like that, so that's cool. And that'll get written in. So what do we see when we have a user account? Well, if I come through into here, you can search for the user quite happily. There's Joe Blogs. And yeah, how's that? Straightforward? That's no different, eh, to what you've done before. All right, and if I extend that down, I can add in things like job title. Now, this is one to throw out at you. What use do you think it is finding out what somebody's job title is? To doing what? Yeah, SharePoint? Yeah? Permissions? RMS? Anyone heard of RMS? Hey, Daniel. Rights Management Server. Just if you ask Daniel down the back row, he'll tell you it's a really, really cool and useful thing. All right. So, yes, we can add those extra details in. Coming through here with our settings. Now, one of the things you want to do when you're setting up your users is assign them a role. If you've got somebody who's new coming through as an administrator, then you want to know what those roles are. And you'll see here there's a link to say learn more about administrator roles. Now, the names of these roles has been flexible over about the last 18 months. I've watched some of the names of these roles change. We've had company admin, we've had a whole pile of things. It's not taking me off to a screen I wanted to see. So as I come through into here and say, would you like them to have an admin role? I can go, yes. And then it says, which kind of a role would you like? And each of these actually have some very specific things that they can manage. So reading from the top down, we've got the billing administrator, we've got the global administrator, password administrator, service administrator, and all that kind of stuff in here. So user management allows us to go through and set some passwords. Password administrator allows us to set all passwords but admin passwords. Exam tip. And that kind of stuff. So we actually have those breakdowns of the different roles that we can go through. The really interesting thing for you guys is that if you're setting up your Exchange admins, there's a whole other set of roles against the Exchange console, which gives you a bunch of other roles there and different rights and so on. Do we want to have an alternate email address for, you know, our new Joe Blogs? Possibly. And sign-in status at the moment will be blocked just to save James a heart attack or three. Yeah. Done. Now, as we're going into that as well, there's Joe Blogs again. While I'm looking at that, under licenses, this is where you can set up what kind of a license you want them to be able to have. And if you're choosing to give them that, which I can't at the moment, you'll see that we can actually give them access to Office 365, which gives them Yammer as well. We might not want them to use SharePoint, and we might not want them to use Link. Okay, so at this point, we can set those up, and then we've got a bunch of other options cruising on through. Hope you don't have time to pass. Cool. Configuring the email address, basically having a look through as they don't have, as they don't actually have an Exchange mailbox at the moment. We can't set them up, but they would actually get the choice within AltHouse of the three addresses, okay? And more, for more information, just information about them. So that's cool. Now, before I go too much further on this, one of the things that I kind of got a wee bit berated for by the lead channel guy, he sort of sent me an email after he saw my presentation. He goes, oh, you're mentioning something that I'm not sure I'm really comfortable with you mentioning. I thought, oh, I wonder what that is. And it comes down to this domain stuff. Now, one of the things that I've really got to talk to you guys about is tidying up Active Directory, okay? Now, I know that's, see, there's a little chuckle coming from back here. Hopefully it was that joke, but tidying up Active Directory becomes quite important for this. If you are moving towards having a look at getting your AD working and sorted, then start using some decent tools for it. So what I've done here is I've switched over to AltHouse in, well, basically our domain. Now, how many of you, when you manage Active Directory, will go in and use that guy there? Oh, who is it that's your first port of call for managing users? See, look at that, brilliant. How many will jump off to PowerShell things and say, oh no, stuff that, you can do it the easy way with the GUI, but I'm going to go through and PowerShell my way through new users? Yeah, a handful. James, yeah, but James just shows off, and I don't know about you down the back. Is it through having scripts saved that you just go, yeah, saved, and then bring up variables and away you go? Look, one of the things that I try and plug every single time that I teach anything to do with Active Directory is this guy here. And you notice that this is my login to our server in Wellington, so I've RDP'd off to Wellington. How many use this? And to the rest of you, why not? Who didn't know there was such a thing? Who's never seen that? Cool. All right, that's handy, eh? So this is the Active Directory Admin Center. And for those of you who haven't seen it before, look at the first thing that it comes up and has on the splash screen on landing. What's this bit? Reset password. Yeah. CRAIGB@aldhouse.co.nz. He's not even flinching. I would. We can actually control that from here. What I must point out to you is this tool is part of the RSAT. Okay, hang on a second, this is a 365 lesson, why are you giving me an AD lesson? Because this is a tool that you could use quite greatly to your, you know, to your advantage. Server 2012 R2, you now have a recycle bin, right? The recycle bin gets exposed through this tool, so you can actually see and recycle users from here. Anyways, one of the things, and I'll show you both tools, right? If I come into Aldhouse Local here, you'll see a view that's probably going to be kind of familiar. You guys have all seen OUs and that sort of stuff. You understand we're a small domain at Aldhouse. And to pick on the Wellington people, here's our OU. And you can see that we actually, you know, this is one of those times where we actually have got quite a tidy looking Active Directory. And if I come into here and open me up, there we go. You'll notice that this page will actually show you quite a bit of information. Now, it's quite interesting because I notice there's a handful of SQL people here in the room as well that I recognize. And, you know, as SQL trainers, we tend to, or SQL type people, we tend to like lots and lots of data and like to have lots of information. As you can see, my Active Directory user account is very full with all of my account information and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, or not as the case may be. So there was the precursor at the beginning where I said, do as we say, not as we do. What you need to do is go through your Active Directory and start populating some of this information. I don't think that your idea of switching to 365 should be a 5-second job. Oh, I don't know, we'll just run up Office 365 and we'll set up DirSync and we'll be away laughing. It doesn't work that well. You've got to do some planning, you've got to do some structure. How many are running multi-forest kind of environments? Okay, you've really got to heavily read the documentation on the multi-forest stuff before you go ahead and have a play around with this. It was good to see a fellow down here putting his hand up and say, yeah, I've got saved scripts for Active Directory. Those sorts of things will help you out, you know. So if you've got a bunch of scripting tools available or a bunch of Active Directory, PowerShell scripts, you can get into monitoring and adding attributes to user accounts. Because one of the things that you can do is you can do DirSync filtering, but if you do the DirSync filtering, you've got to have the information actually floating around in Active Directory first. Okay. So if you're not sure about how to do loops and do for next, you're pretty much going to be a wee bit stuck. So you've got to get into that, and I just can't stress, the four of us here who work for Aldhouse, so we've got Craig and James here, and we've got Chris over here, we'd be the first ones to tell you PowerShell everything. You know, just use PowerShell for everything. It's great, it's wonderful, it speeds things up, but yeah. Cool. Anyway, so this thing here, why I tell you to use Active Directory Admin Center as well, just as another tip here, is that if I decide to come into here and then go and create a new user, I just want you to see the difference. Because that's a new user dialog box. So what you guys are used to through Active Directory users and computers is right-click new user, boom, fill out a name, fill out a password, close, cancel, right-click properties, open up and explore everything. But this puts it all in the one place. And this will run off a Windows 7 client as part of RSAT. So that's handy to know. But getting all that kind of stuff tidied up is really, really important for you. Cool. I can get that out of the way now, that's fine. Okay, so the billing stuff. This floats around in here. You've got all the billing control over who can do things. Oh, and actually, I should pause on the domain thing. You'll notice that now it's telling us the action needed is to complete the setup. Now, as you're playing around with your trial for Office 365, hooking up your domain and that kind of stuff isn't quite so important, right? So you can set up Office 365 and not worry about your domains. When you come through into thinking, okay, I really want to have a proper domain, and I really want to get DirSync trialing, this is when you've got to have a bit of control over your environment. If you can create a child domain to begin with just for the testing and trialing, like test.aldhouse.co.nz, then that's a really, really good idea. And coming through here, there's a lot of stuff that you need to set up, okay? One of the things that you have is specify the domain name and confirming your ownership of that domain. Now, in going through confirming the ownership of your domain, you have to be in charge of things like being able to control your DNS servers. You have to be able to retarget your text files, you have to retarget CNAME files, you have to be able to organize your MX records. All of those things have to be organized. Now, if I go through here and choose start step 3, that's actually going to start breaking how ours works at work. OK, okay? And I don't think any of the three of us want that extra work right now. But particularly we'll have 27 people and three imaginary people come across and say, oi, something's broken. But this is a step that's really important, hey? 26 now, yeah? Yeah, oh yeah, because I won't mind, yeah. So that's the kind of stuff you need to understand. And, you know, this is where, when you see when I get to the last slide, there's going to be a lot of things I'm going to tell you that if you're, who are the one-stop people, by the way? How many, put your hands up if you're the one-stop IT guy in your organization. Yeah, that's quite handy, all right? So a lot of you are actually kind of specialized into different areas, and that's really, really useful. All right, what are we looking at for time? 20 past, 20 minutes to go. Yeah, all right. See how we can get through this. Billing, boring stuff. You can go read about billing later. External sharing. One of the cool things about this is that we can automatically federate. What's the minimum thing that somebody needs to federate across into here? What's the minimum thing that they need for me to be able to say, here, have access to our external data? Microsoft account. That's it, eh? Just a Microsoft account and off they go. Okay, and then we can set up that external federation and set up the external sharing and allow people to do that. And I noticed through a bit of fiddling around, you know, that's a few things are on for us like that. Alrighty. I'm just conscious 20 minutes to go. We'll see how we go on here. Alrighty. So, yeah, we've got a whole pile of things around our service settings, and I'll get into the mail stuff in a little while, but you'll notice that we have protection and stuff set on for mail, so we can actually do all the anti-malware. And one of the really cool things about this is we can actually set up anti-malware whitelists and blacklists, so we can automatically whitelist things that are getting a whole pile of false negatives. So for the exchange gurus in the room, that's probably, you know, one of those things that you see as de rigueur, but it's just to show you it's all floating around here as well. We also have the ability to go through and set our password rules. Now, I threw this one out here during the exams cram I did yesterday. What's the maximum age for an Office 365 password? 700. Well, is that somebody who was there yesterday, or? Yeah, okay, cool, cheating. So 700 days for a password policy. Could you imagine users getting into 700 days and going, oh, no, it's that time of the year again, which is cool. User software, how are we going to deploy that software to people? Okay, so how can we actually roll it out to them and so on? So, yeah. And then mobile stuff, and it's pretty cool. BlackBerry Business, what? That's new. All right. The question I have just before I move on too much from your user migration, this is the thing. You remember I told you I want you to have really rich AD. Really rich, put lots of information in there. So one of the tools that's really important off that and leveraging off that is internally to Windows is a thing called Rights Management Server. Externally to Office 365 is a thing called Rights Management. And what the rights management tools allow you to do is lock down who can read documents. So if you're populating your Active Directory very heavily, I suggest that's, you know, quite useful. So also, how many people have come across dynamic access control before? How many? Okay, who in the room is not a trainer? So you see, it's one of those things that there's these little built-in tools that, you know, the more rich your Active Directory is, the more you can leverage off into those kind of ideas. So, yeah. Is that stuff all right so far? Is anything in there scary? Hopefully you guys are all seeing it's all pretty straightforward, eh? Cool. And if I just get this out of the way, hopefully the other one will come through. I should probably go into the service health and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it shows off the front end. There's service health basically to show you what's happening with your system. But as you saw from the front splash screen, we can get into that quite happily. The cool thing about this is setting up an RSS feed. Now, I don't know if James has done it, but on my Outlook, I've done this so that I have an RSS feed. So when I have issues coming through, I can see that information straight away. The annoying thing about that is I can be anywhere at any time and get that information. And, you know, yeah, I'll load that into there for now. Right. So the question I have for you as well, what do you think are the two, what are the minimum fields that you need to migrate a user across into Active from Active Directory into Office 365? Username is one. Password, yeah, you can set that up. But, No, the minimum that you need to send a user from here in Active Directory up into here are two fields. One's display name and one of them is UPN. How about that? You know, and if you're thinking, yeah, it's pretty minimalist, eh? Okie doke. So Exchange management. This is a world that's become quite new to me. I've got two of my colleagues here who are actually pure Exchange trainers, and I'm an Office 365 Exchange trainer. I've had a very, very steep learning curve around some of this stuff, including what not to do, as you guys will see me do in the next little while as well. Okay. So I think for the most part, when we're messing around with this, I'll get this up. Oh, that's handy. this page cannot be displayed. We'll go back. There'll be one there that can be. Hey, look. Excellent. So Exchange Online. How many are Exchange Gurus in here? Because all of a sudden I'll be just be swamped by people. No Exchange Gurus in the room. Well, that's kind of handy. And that's where he is. How's it feeling, Eddie? Anonymous yet? An old friend of mine over here said he wanted to come in and be anonymous and not have anyone mention anything to him, but there you go. So, Exchange, or am I in there now? Or am I just waiting? Waiting. Yeah, talk amongst yourselves for a moment and yeah. That's working quickly. Yeah. Yeah, there's a colleague up, fellow up the front here said it's probably just trying to recover that section. How do you mean? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm not aware of that. Yeah. Wouldn't it just be my luck that it's the Exchange console that's in the repair mode? Hey, Exchange, yay! So anybody who's used to using Exchange, you've probably seen the screen because this is pretty much like what you get with an Exchange on-premise now. Whew, that was lucky, wasn't it? Hey, if that had gone down, T-stick time. All right, get this folded out of the way. So some of the things that I've got to go through in here is basically just teaching some of the ins and outs and some of the things that we can set up in here. It's really to show that you have a lot of control over what you're doing. Twink. Why is that not working? Interesting. Okay, so first things first. Straight off the front here, you notice that you've got a whole pile of all of these topics to go through and have a bit of a monitor around. If we start off with this part, we start to look at the recipients and how we can set these things up. Now, what you've got here is these are basically directly picked up from Active Directory, and we use DirSync to bring these things up into play. Pretty straightforward things in here. Like if I pick on Chris here and go to edit his details, you'll notice that as I pick up a user here, I think this is all pretty straightforward stuff. As you guys look through this, you'll see, oh, okay, 1.49 gig. Well done. That's a tiny mailbox for us. How many people dream of a 1.5 gig mailbox? How many people dread them for your end users when they've got them and they sit that big? Yeah. Let's have a look at the boss. 12.75 gig mailbox. It gets quite scary, eh, when you start seeing these numbers. Who's another one that's good? Well, she's not here. You notice I can't do anything about, you know, about seeing the mailboxes and that kind of stuff, but I can actually see what they're doing. Now, look, on this idea of the mailboxes, there is one thing that I must stress to you, and I'll actually bring this guy up. So this is my boss in Wellington. Now, a couple of times over, he has done stuff like he said, oh, can I have a new build on my laptop, right? So I don't want Windows 7 anymore, I want Windows 8 or 8.1, sweet. Oh, I don't want Office 2010 anymore, can I have Office 2013? No worries, sweet. And then you start the migration process. And that gets to be a little bit nuisancing. So here's a little tip to you guys. If you are looking at your users and they have got massive mailboxes, get them to shove all their stuff off into a PST to begin with. Now, I know that a lot of organizations will block PST creation for different reasons, for security reasons and whatever else. What I noticed with Craig's mailbox for the four times I've rebuilt it this year is that as it starts syncing and as Outlook starts syncing back up into the cloud, you'll find it trips over its own big feet. And what I mean by that is that halfway through the migration, if he decides to close Outlook and then reopen Outlook, it says, oh, I see we haven't synced properly. Your mailbox doesn't match exactly what you've got in Office 365. Let me start the synchronization process for you. Craig's the manager and one of the owners of AltHouse. So his inbox is full of all of these messages, and he's watching. He says, oh, I'll just reply to that one. And he goes to click on it. It'll disappear from his inbox, go away, and then come back once the synchronization is complete. Now, I can tell any of you out here that if you're dealing with a user like that who's that harrowed about his email, the best advice I can give you is tell them to switch to using the online OWA to begin with while that process is happening. And if you're really worried about OWA, that should open up in a new tab. Oh, it's not going to. There you go. Oh, my payslip. Everyone want to see? No. So what the idea here is that if you jump into there, you can see that that's a fairly feature-rich kind of environment, right? Let's see what Chris is saying about my session. Or has he just got a photo there he's sent around to everyone? I just want you to see the office online because, oh, you've all seen office online, haven't you, OWA? Yeah, you know, you get the idea, it's feature rich. So make sure that your end users can get right on top of the size of their mailboxes before you start migrating them in, okay? Because, yeah, if you don't, it's just a world of hurt for us. So, yeah, recipients. Archive and retention. It's a good thing that you asked that because there's archive. Who was that? Yeah. So there are archive and retention policies sitting around in here, and it goes a bit more in depth than I'm intending on this session. But have a chat to me afterwards if you want. Grab me at the Alt House stall. I'll gladly have a bit of a chat about it. That comes under your client, your compliance management. So it's got a lot of those things floating in place. So what emails are going to be kept around? What retention policies? So all the normal exchange stuff that you'd expect to see. And some of your rules and journal rules and that kind of stuff in there as well. Alrighty, I got a little while up my sleeve here, that's good. Okay, so permissions, admin roles. What we have here is we have a bunch of admin roles floating around with an exchange. Who's going to be there? Hygiene management, that means cleaners, so that'll be Chris. Looking at records management, which comes into your retention policies and what stuff is allowed to be kept and how you're going to go on that. For those of you who were for my exam crams yesterday, you need to bone up on that stuff a little bit for the Office 365 exam on there. Cool. Compliance management, if it comes into play, you know, you're auditing what tags, what emails are going to be tagged through things and a lot of fun stuff in here. Floating around within your organization, what kind of things are you going to be sharing, what stuff's going to be out there, and your apps that you're going to allow people to have as well for running it. Okay. Now, if you start to get around and playing with Intune and get in play with MDM, you also get to start to build device templates for the different devices you want to be allowed to hook into Office 365, and there's a lot of really cool things that I'd suggest you have a play with there. Our malware. Filtering, connection filters, who's on your blacklists and whitelists, what kind of stuff you're going to allow in or out, outbound spam, what's going to be accepted there, and your quarantine type rules, okay? Now, what you get with this is it's a little bit like, who's using Mail Marshal? Anyone using Mail Marshal out here? Yeah, so you know how the users get the email that says, hey, we found a quarantine message. You open up the quarantine message and there's two links on it. One of them says it's not junk, and one of them says release to inbox. So just be aware that they're there. Get into convincing your users that what they should be doing is choosing mark it as not junk and then release to inbox. Because what will happen, I've seen in my experience, is if you say it's released to inbox, it still leaves it as a junk mail because it thinks that that's going to be junk mail as it goes through. So yeah, this stuff's actually been really handy. And I had to use this tool recently. This is actually a very, very neat little tool. I'm not going to go into actually demoing it, making it work now, but I will tell you that some of the things that we can do with this is say, right, we're having issues sending emails. And one of the things that we've got, because we're a training firm, you know, how many of you in the room have been to Alt House for courses before? Hopefully more than, oh, look at that, that's bloody marvelous. All right, so once more, because that looked really, really good. So one of the things about it is that you guys have all had those confirmation emails from us, right, that say, hey, the course is here, it's at this date, you're going to be in this room, this will be your trainer, please bring along a packed lunch if you want to and all that kind of stuff if you've got strange eating habits. We've found that a couple of our receivers have actually been blocked on that. And so what I was able to do for my colleague, for Craig, who was sending the emails out, not this one, but the boss, was actually get the delivery reports, and they're actually very, very rich in the information about where the message was getting dropped. And so it's just one of those things. As I say, there's a paradigm shift in what you're going to manage. And as you come into this part, the message trace is actually really, really useful for seeing that kind of delivery. So and if I added in a sender here, go and choose this. Go and choose me. Oh, let's just go into here. I will demo it. We've got a bit of time. Oh, I don't exist. That'll be the way, wouldn't it? Let's go back one there. There we go. Done. Choose OK. And basically, I'll be able to get delivery reports coming out of there and seeing what's going on. Ditch that. That's done. Choose OK. And search. And this will actually give me the delivery reports and the message tracing and that kind of stuff on messages that I've been sending out. And I can filter that back to the particular messages. And you can see here all the delivered reports. Oh, I failed. That's because that address doesn't exist. I was doing a VBA course on Monday demonstrating sending an email. So how's that? All right? So delivery reports are quite straightforward. You know, I'm not an exchange guru. You just ask James. You know, I don't know the difference between a mailbox and a mail user, but, you know, apparently I passed a couple of exams that said that I do. So that stuff's actually really, if an idiot like me can drive this, I'm pretty sure all of you guys can. That's what it comes down to. Alrighty, so we're getting up to 11:31. This is probably not such a bad thing. So mobile devices. I'll need this demo in a second. So a little while ago, I taught Office 365 for the very first time. That would be last year. Just before I do this, remember to check that there's nothing important on any of those. Eddie. Anyway, just the message I got through there. Now, what I'm going to do here. So, last year, I'm teaching Office 365 for the first time. Chris Barker's heckling me now and saying, don't do it. I don't think you'll actually be able to see that. You guys can see that? Hey. The third guy down on the list is sitting halfway down at the back there, just so I'll say that, because he wanted to be anonymous, so I'm just leaving Eddie anonymous over there. All right. So I'm teaching this Office 365 course last year. First time I've ever taught it. Hold them up. Yeah, no, that way. So I'm teaching Office 365. It's the first time I've done this, right? I'm not an exchange guru. Have I said that enough times? I'm not an exchange guru. So what I want to show you over here is really neat. Look at this, mobile devices. So I'm busy teaching this course. My phone's 2 weeks old. And I thought, hey, this is really cool. I wonder what this is. View details. Oh, yeah? And then I saw this come up. So this is mobile management. How many of you have had those staff come to you, oh, I've lost my cell phone. Can you do something about that? Yeah. And if you follow the Microsoft, the mobile stuff, the MDM story, you'll actually learn that they've now got selective wipes. That's great. But, you know, I'm an idiot. How many of you can actually admit that yourselves, eh? Like, I am a complete idiot. I've got a few people here I've taught before, and they know. Yeah, see, Sully's busy nodding up the front. He's going, yeah, he is. And I went through this, and I thought, oh, well, look at this, mobile devices. I can manage my mobile device. I can see when it last synced and what's going on and all that kind of stuff. It's all pretty straightforward. Incidentally, if I just switch over to this, and I go to Outlook, one of the things that I got into doing with Outlook for this stuff, and I really recommend it for everybody, is if you are a sysadmin, switch this to sync when you want it to. All right, I'm a mountain biker. I spend a lot of my holidays going mountain biking and that kind of stuff, and I've been in the middle of the forest in Rotorua and responded to work emails and fixed things. Don't do that. So what I tend to do is leave that to manually syncing, which is what I'm doing down the bottom there by clicking on this little guy down here. Need a nail trim. Anyway, so back over here, I'm busy teaching this course, and I had, there are a number of guys I had in the course, and they actually work for a really interesting organization. They work for an energy company in Wellington, and their energy company is gobbling up mini companies. And so they've got an amazing federation set up between all of the different sub-organizations that they've got. Alrighty, so I thought, well, I can see those details, and I can come into here and I can say, do I want to allow or not allow it? Yeah, that's fine, eh? So if you've got your thing set up and you go, oh, actually, the boss has lost it, I better turn it off. Okay, so you can actually disable the thing. And then, you know, 3 days later, the boss comes around and says, oh, I found my phone. It was down the back of the couch. That's quite cool. I can also block the device, you know, that's it. So allow it, block it, allow it after they've come back to you 3 days later. And I've got this as a rule now, and I've actually been asked to do this in Wellington, which is just, I've lost my phone, and I've gone, oh, that's okay. And the first thing I've done when someone said they've lost their phone is actually go to block. Because while I was teaching course for the first time last year, I thought, oh, I wonder what this device does. Anyone ever seen what happens if you do it? Who's done this? Okay, who's done this accidentally? Because I didn't know what it did. Who can tell me what's about to happen to my phone? Factory reset. No, of course it's not. It's only going to remove the Office 365 data, isn't it? Which is what this idiot in front of you thought. Wipe pending. So what that's actually going to do now is it's actually sending... You didn't think I was going to do that, did you? Hands up who thought he wasn't going to be that stupid. So what I've just done is send a remote wipe message across to this. I did this live while teaching and then basically had a whole room full of people just laughing their asses off at me, as these guys are now. And what will happen in a moment is that message is going to get across to my phone, and it's actually going to remotely wipe that phone and basically remove everything from it. And it is a full factory reset on my phone remotely. it only took me about 4 or 5 hours to rebuild the phone back from that. So that's one of the good things about Office 365 and having a Windows phone is I've backed all my settings up to the cloud already, because you guys all have. Oh, better get back over to that. Nothing's happening yet. It'll eventually get through there. Okay, and we'll actually see that disappear in a moment. So I'm going to leave it focused on that. I'm not going to worry about the PowerPoint for now. I've got about 4 minutes to wrap up and get through things. Useful tools for moving forward. I have a slide here. I'll just show you really quickly while I wait for that phone to do something. It'll be my luck. It doesn't do anything in the next 2 minutes. It was pretty instant last time. These, take a quick look at that. They are the things that you guys need to learn. How much of that, who can put their hand up and say, oh, yeah, I've got all of those things down tuned? Yeah, that's a smart idea. See, this dude's brought up his camera and taken a photo of it. I'll get out of the way because otherwise I'll ruin the photo. Active Directory Admin Center for tidying everything up. You need to know that. Okay, you need to know it for sorting things out and making things nice and tidy. PowerShell. There's absolutely no reason for anyone not to use PowerShell these days. And what I suggest if you're going to go ahead and use PowerShell, the other tools that you need to manage PowerShell is you need to download a couple of different things. You need the Microsoft Online Services Assistant. You know, you need the sign-on assistant tool. You need to have the Azure Active Directory PowerShell modules downloaded. Now, those are available from the Microsoft site. Go to TechNet, download them from there, and you'll have those in there. I cannot recommend enough getting into using the PowerShell ISE. It's one of James's top 10 tips from last year is to use that. How many people actually use the ISE? How many people have no idea what I'm talking about with PowerShell ISE? More than welcome to put your hands up. Don't be shy. So the ISE allows you to build scripts and save them and do all kinds of really funky things. Yeah, you cannot avoid PowerShell, as you can see up here. ADFS. If you're going to do the fully integrated stuff, if you're going to do the single sign-on, and there are other sessions on that throughout this the next 3 days, if you are going to get into doing that single sign-on stuff, you need to understand ADFS. And if you want, come and meet me over there. I can give you a really very quick demonstration on pen and paper of how ADFS works and what you need to understand for that. I swear you cannot avoid IIS anymore. Okay, for those of you who are like, oh, IIS is that thing that sits over there, I installed this role and IIS came with it. I'm not sure what IIS does, but it does what it was supposed to do. Learn how to manage it. Become certificate experts, right? Start to manage your certificates and learn how you can do all that stuff because all of those things tie in. Aren't you enjoying that instantaneous remote wipe of this machine? Nothing's happened yet. Gutted. It was a great demonstration. And then, you know, things to move on to. As we look towards upgrading to Server 2012 R2, as we look towards upgrading to Windows 8.1, learn about work folders, learn about mobile device management, learn about workplace join, okay, because workplace join's a really cool thing. All right, related content. Ah, man, the numbers here. What's your number, Daniel? PC? 208. I had that, but it lost the change for some reason. There's one here, OFC 312, migrating your business to Office 365. It basically picks up, it's a deeper dive than what I've done on here. The identity management in the cloud is really useful stuff. Daniel's going to be talking about tomorrow at 11. There you go, out of time, 11:55. The other one here that's quite cool is PCIT 309, bring your own device type stuff. So looking at sharing your workplace stuff. And the other one, which I'm going to go along to, which is OFC 316, Data Loss Prevention with Office 365, a very cool thing. As I say, I'll be floating around the old house stand for the next while, probably chugging back a few coffees. Grab as a shout there, if you like. And it would be rude not to mention these. All right, courses. These are just a few I thought off the top of my head, which would be quite a useful thing for you to know about. The top one is 5 days. If you're interested in that, please talk to me before you start about that one. It's a big course. The second one's 3 days. The reason I mentioned 20412 is it gives you a really good look at Active Directory Federated Services. It gives you a really good look at Certificate Services and Rights Management Server, plus a few other really, really cool things in there like that are built in. But those three topics alone relate directly to the stuff you'll do with Office 365 if you're into the learning mode. If PowerShell still scares you, 10961 for automating Windows PowerShell. And, 55065 for Azure for IT professionals, which is a 3-day Microsoft Azure AD account, AD course. So there you go. And heaps of other stuff here. I got this stuff from Paul Balkett from Microsoft. As I say, this publication presentation is available for you. Please look through all of those, particularly because there are new plans coming in October, which is like, you know, a few days away. The rest of that is, there you go. That was that. And I hope you guys enjoyed yourself and learned some stuff along the way. Cool. Cheers, guys.